It's a wonderful passage, this one, and one that's found in all of the four Gospels, the miraculous feeding. It's interesting. It starts off with this little passage, with this little phrase, when Jesus heard what had happened. Draws us to think, well, what had happened? Because what had occurred was that there'd just been the feast in Herod's palace when John the Baptist's head had been chopped off, and to satisfy the really hatred and bitterness of Herodias, Herod's wife, who resented John the Baptist and his moral statements about their union. So John the Baptist has just been killed. There's this great prophet, this great leader, who'd been such an inspiration to Jesus himself, had now died. So it's in that context that this little passage takes place. So when it says he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place, what we have is a Jesus who's grieving the death of his cousin. This is Jesus in mourning. There would be something tragically wrong if he wasn't. So Jesus goes somewhere quietly to grieve and just come to terms with the fact that he'd lost somebody that he deeply loved and respected, a close family member. It's all the usual things that we feel when we lose somebody that we love. And hearing that Jesus had gone off, the crowds follow him. I mean, the crowds would have been sensing this bereavement as well, because John was such an inspirational figure. And we hear that Jesus landed and he had, when he saw them, he had compassion on them. In his own grief, Jesus still felt the grief of others. This wonderful word, compassion. I was trying to think of an illustration of compassion. I thought of when you see a child riding their bicycle along the road and they come off. Do you sense that feeling that you, before they hit the ground, you can sort of feel the pain that they're going to feel, can't you? You think, oh no, you, as the child goes down, you go, ugh! And you can almost feel it. And there's a sense in which Jesus was feeling his own grief. And then he shared in the grief of others. And this is compassion, and Jesus takes pity on them and he spends time with them. And we hear that he heals the sick. And so we know that Christ cares about those who are in need, people with wounds and scars. And that's why a service like today is fine, because it reminds us that Christ cares for us in whatever kinds of needs that we have. It's right and proper that we should have a service in which we can just be open about the fact that we need Christ's healing touch, each one of us, in different ways. And then we have this need that takes place, because it's getting late, and the disciples say, oh, send them away. You know, let's chase everyone off to their homes, because it's getting late. And if we're not careful, we're going to have a lot of hungry people on our hands. And Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You can sympathize with the disciples, because they look out on 5,000 men, and you've got the women and children. They're worried about, you know, there's going to be a riot here. We're going to have a lot of people with no food, and they're going to be all upset. And at the vastness of the need, they say, let's kind of have nothing. Let's kind of cut. I was thinking that as we look around us as a church and as individuals, and as we see the needs around us in our communities, in our world, as those disciples looked at the vast crowd with all the needs, so we look at vast problems too, and we think, where do we start? As Christians in our community, where do we start to try and make a difference? And it's quite interesting, because Jesus says to them, you know, basically, bring me what you've got. And they bring a few loaves and a few fish. And Jesus blesses what they've got. And it turns into a miracle. And in a sense, that's what we're encouraged to do today. We just bring what we've got. And it might not be a lot. It might not be great. It might not be haute cuisine. But we bring what we've got, and Christ blesses it. And we hear that he took the loaves, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. And as we bring what we've got, and as Christ blesses it, he uses it in miraculous ways. And this healing service that we come to today, we come with our own griefs and pains, obviously. But there's a sense in which, at a service like this, we're sharing Christ's healing. Because we come along and we look at the needs around us and we say that, you know, we want to share in your healing purpose. And we do this in lots of faltering ways, don't we? We bring the little bits that we can, the acts of service that we can. We give the little bits of time that we can. Different people in our congregation sharing Christ's healing way. And when we go and visit somebody who's poorly, or when we ring them up on the telephone and say, how are you getting on? This is telecare, just ringing to see if you're all right. People who go and visit folks after they've suffered a bereavement. These are just little ways, but we bring these ways that we can, these little gifts. We bring what we've got and we ask Christ to bless them and use them in his service. And this is how healing takes place. And in a sense, we heal the world one person at a time, don't we, as Christians? We do the little bits that we can, where we're able to. And we offer that to Christ for him to bless it and use it in his service. And of course, the wonderful miracle of this passage is that there's enough left over. And that's the miracle of God's grace, that it's not in short supply. And as we cooperate with God in his healing work, we discover that he cares passionately and deeply, and there is more than enough of his grace to go around and offer healing to all. Amen.